talking about the KARMA status. KARMA has a total of 23 telescopes, and we use KARMA to make actually two VLBI stations. So we phase together 8 of the larger telescopes, and if properly phased, that gives us the equivalent of about a 25-meter single dish. And just to torment ourselves with calibration questions and small discrepancies, we use a separate 10-meter dish as a separate VLBI station. So we have a VLBI baseline of about 100 meters, which we can compare with the KARMA results. So now, we talk about turnkey operation, but basically, so far, each VLBI run has been more like a space launch. And I see that this came out a little bit differently. Wow, okay. I just wanted to say that we have, that VLBI at KARMA wouldn't really have been possible without a lot of contributions from Haystack, not only supplying us with, you know, Maser and synthesizer and recorders, but more importantly with Alan Rogers and Jason Suhu. And actually working with him is one of the best reasons to do VLBI. And I'd like to also say that a lot of the phasing software for the telescopes was written at 3 in the morning by Christian Brinkerink and Laurent Loynard. They seem bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at wee hours of the morning. So KARMA was this effort was made possible by the contributions of many people. Just a quick word about the receivers. The 15 larger telescopes are outfitted with 1-millimeter dual polarization receivers. So the mixers use ALMA band 6 devices, but they're simple double sideband mixers. They're not in the fancy sideband separating configuration that ALMA uses. Unlike most places, we do not use a wave plate. We have a waveguide circular polarizer, so it's at 4 Kelvin. It's actually just shaped waveguide. There are no dielectric vanes or anything like that in there. So I think of it as acupressure on the incoming signal, turning it from circular to linear, where it's separated by the OMT. And by stacking a half wave and quarter wave retarders in that circular polarizer, you can make it broadband. So it works from 210 to 270 gigahertz. So we leave it in the telescope at all times, of course. So we don't need to install wave plates. The beamformer was a joint SMA Berkeley development, I think it's fair to say. The key is that it allows us to beamform and operate with the KARMA correlator at the same time. So in the distant past, to do beamforming, we would turn off all the phase switching on each antenna and sort of go blind through the VLBI scan, which was a disaster. So for calibration purposes and to see what's happening, it's important to be able to operate with the regular correlator at the same time. And so we make use of the analog down converters that are part of the KARMA correlator. We couple off a sample of each 500 megahertz chunk to this beamformer. The beamformer removes the phase switching, puts in delays, and so on. And it includes a 7 baseline correlator as part of it, which is helpful in getting the thing phased up initially. But then for phasing during each scan, we use the full bandwidth KARMA correlator. So the idea is at the beginning of the night, you phase up the beamformer on a strong calibrator, and then you maintain the same antenna phases throughout the night using the KARMA correlator. So typically, we use 10-second integrations. The online system provides us with a self-cal solution after 1 or 2 seconds. We use that to adjust the local oscillator phases on each telescope. So midway into the next 10-second integration, we'll have a small phase jump typically, and that runs through into the beginning of the next integration and so on. And to see how this works, here's a test, I think, at 3 millimeters, where the red dots are showing you what happens when we turn on the phasing system. The black dots are showing you what happens with no phasing. And you see that turning on the phasing actually adds a little bit of noise, probably, a little bit of phase scatter. But it keeps the mean a lot closer to zero. And so it takes out antenna phase drifts through the night. People always say, well, if you used Kalman filtering or something else, you could do a much better job. Are you sure you're getting the optimum? So Christian spent quite a bit of time looking into this, various schemes for phasing. And here's a test where he tested different delay times and different feedback strengths. And you see that if you have very short integrations and you correct very quickly, you could get very, very good phasing efficiency. And in fact, you may even try to predict what the atmosphere will be doing. You can sort of anticipate that if the phases are increasing, you better jump ahead. But if for more standard, the integration times we use, it's better actually to have a feedback strength of about 0.5. So that is, if we do a self-cal solution and we find the antenna is 30 degrees in one direction or another off of zero phase, we apply 15 degree phase correction to it. So we don't try to correct the whole thing in one shot. So we then spend our nights looking at a phasing diagram like this on the computer screen. So this helps us visualize what's happening. So each of these vectors is composed of 16 segments for the 16 spectral windows from our correlator. So if the passband correction is adequate, you should get pretty much of a straight line. And this is representing the self-cal amplitude divided by the system temperature, basically. So we have a signal-to-noise ratio vector here. Ideally, all the vectors point towards the right, so that would say they're all phased up. They add up to give maximum amplitude. The red vectors are the ones actually used by the beamformer, and the violet ones are other antennas that go to the Karma correlator but are not being included in the sum. And in fact, let's see here, can we get a movie to work? I don't know. We spend our time watching this, gasping when the vectors diverge. Whoops, or if you go to a new source. Sometimes you'll see antenna 1, which is a violet vector, sticking out in some weird direction because it's the comparison antenna, so it's not actually included in the phased sum. So we spend all night staring at that screen, sort of panicking when things go wrong. This is the phasing efficiency we got in the 2013 experiment. So this is comparing the vector sum that we measured with the ideal vector sum. And we see that our median phasing efficiency is about 90%. I should say that Karma's also been very useful for calibrating the system, and there are cool things like this night in 2013 where the polarization position angle of Sag A varied by 180 degrees over a span of a few hours, which was quite an amazing event. And there are also side benefits from my point of view. So here we did a serendipitous discovery of Faraday rotation towards 3C84. With a rotation measure of 10 to the 6th radians per meter squared, which is a kind of a cool outcome. So this is basically because we were monitoring the rotation measure of Sag A for the famous G2 cloud. And so as just a consistency check, you want to check all the quasars you've got this particular night. So in March 2015, we're going to double the size of the beamformer to take advantage of all the analog down converters that we have at Karma. So that'll give us 16 gigabits per second. And we have all the needed Casper boards, the IBOB and V2 boards. A little tricky part is that these The beamformer puts out data in the VSI format, and we need VDIF, I guess, for the Mark VI recorders. So this is hopefully happening at Haystack. And I guess we're going to record a broader bandwidth from the comparison antenna. So I hadn't thought about that. I presume it's more efficient to use an R2 DBE rather than try to make use of the Karma down converters. 2016 and beyond, I think, looks rather bleak. I think Karma will probably shut down. That's very sad. All right, thank you.
Okay, so we're coming in on the break. I know everyone probably needs a little bit of coffee, but we have time for one or two commiseration questions, I guess. So we are. I do want to say a couple of words about that. There is some effort, some strong effort actually, to find a solution to the Karma issue. It contributes really very critical UV coverage, and the phasing is working quite well. There's even some funds to build a next generation phasing system should the array find a future. And there are some scenarios in which we could even contemplate leaving some of the collecting area up on the high site where Karma is. So we would retain the EHT functionality just with a reduced sensitivity, which could partially be made up through using next generation receivers. So there are some real possibilities that we're actively exploring. It's really a time critical issue because, as Dick says, if we don't do something now, then Karma will go away. So if people have any ideas or if there's some institutional interest in contributing to that effort, please get in touch with either me or Dick.
Okay, all right.
Okay, thanks, so we'll be back. Let's thank Dick again.